the North Vietnamese overran Hue, as they did all of the major cities up and down Vietnam, on a coordinated attack. And unfortunately, I had a small group of men in a cement building there in Hue City in Tu Tien province, which is one province south of Quang Tri, and then you go into China. So I was pretty far up north. And when they hit us with their force, they hit us with approximately 65,000 troops overrunning the city of Hue and holding it for 35 days. I didn't have enough ammunition nor men nor coordination with any other higher units because of the nature of my work to do anything about it.
So you were captured and held as a prisoner of war by the North Vietnamese until March 16th, 1973. Right. So for 5 years, you were a prisoner of war.
5 years, 6 months, and 15 days.
When the capture happened, how many of you were there?
One man was killed.
Right.
Another man died, shot through the neck with an AK-47. So that left us with...
maybe 10?
10, approximately 10 people.
And you said you were in civilian clothes and... wearing hush puppies?
Hush puppies I bought at JCPenney's.
Right. That began your ordeal that lasted for 5 years.
1 month and 15 days.
Yes.
Solitary confinement is an awesome experience because you don't know what's going to happen next first. And my cell was only about, 7 feet long by 7 feet high by 4 feet wide. And I had a blanket and a mosquito net and a pair of old stocks that they used to, like the medieval stocks. You could lift them up and put a person's feet in them, clasp it down, and then lock it. So that's all I had. And I had a spoon, and I was in a very dire straits all most of the time because I couldn't correspond with anybody. The cell on my left was empty. The cell on my right was empty, so I couldn't use a tap code. So I was completely alone, so I tried to think of things to keep my sanity, stories, anything I could think of. I started to sing to myself, make up songs, do anything I could, but it always kept slipping away like sliding down a mountainside. And I knew I was going insane, and I didn't want to. I didn't want to go insane at all. Nobody wants to go insane. But it was slipping away from me, and every time I'd think of something, I'd think of taking my wife, at that time my first wife, to a flower store, buying her a bouquet of flowers, and then walking down the street. And then 3 months later, I'd try to reconstruct that story, and I'd be throwing her through the window and eating the flowers and all kinds of bizarre things. So I knew I was losing it. And eventually, I actually, through psychological torture combined with physical torture, went completely insane, and it took a long time to get me back to sanity.
And you think you're back?
Oh, I walk down the sidewalk instead of in the middle of the street.
That's true. I have a very special request, and that is for you to tell the story, if you can, of your gold tooth.
When I went to Greece with my father, he was aware that I was going to go to the Greek-American school there. My mother had ordered him to do that, to leave me there so I could learn the Greek language. But he was kind of a penny pincher, and every time we'd go to a dentist, the dentist would say he wanted 200 drachmas or 500 drachmas. I had two front teeth that were supposed to be made into partials because they were missing. I had fallen and broken both of them as younger. And so he kept taking me to a doctor that he felt met his budget. When we got down to 40 drachmas, the doctor said, "I have no Novocaine, but I can do the job." And he started in, and I screamed so loud I ran out of the office. Then I ran back to my father, grabbed the airplane tickets, and went by myself to Swiss Air and flew home, and my mother was furious. Said, "You were supposed to stay in Greece." I said, "I'm not going to stay with him." So when I got home, the doctor had almost finished his work in Greece, that is. And what he had done was had put the jeweler come up from the street to make gold fittings to my two front teeth to clasp them into my mouth. And I forgot all about them. The communists didn't see them. They didn't care about that, but they took everything else from me, ring, watch, billfold, everything I had. And I had nothing that was familiar to me. So being in solitary confinement for 4.5 years, one of only 4 prisoners who were in solitary confinement for more than 4 years, I started to lose my mind, and I knew I was going insane. And one day I was sitting in my cell, and I looked at my hands. I had clasped them in front of me, and all of a sudden I saw gold, and I thought, somebody up there loves me. They're sending me gold to bribe a guard to let me go or something. And I looked down, and I found out that due to malnutrition, mouth had shrunk and the teeth had fallen out. Those 2 little gold backings had fallen out. I picked them up, and it said Eptadromo, 7-something street, Athens, Greece. And that brought me back to reality for a time, that I knew I had an identity and that these teeth were indicative of that. And I used them very carefully, because the guards would check to see everything that was in a prisoner's cell. And I used to cut my fingernails with the edge of the gold teeth partial that had fallen out. And the guards were always wondering when they came in to cut my fingernails, which sometimes would go below the quick, how I had my nails always so nice. So they'd grab my hand and they'd see that it'd been cut and they'd leave. But then one day they discovered that I had this clasp and they took it from me.